Good morning. So good to see you all in here. Always good to see you here. Believe or not, I will be concluding my 10th year of ministry in Yucaipa. And so far, I haven't heard any news from the bishop's office, so I'm going to begin my 11th year in July. So there's still one more month left. And things can happen, but I don't think it will. Anyway, I've been thinking a lot about the, I mentioned several times about my retirement and my sort of eagerness to retire. And I've been praying a lot about what's going to happen and what God would do. As I have shared many times, you know, by this time you know a lot about me. I had a trouble receiving a call as a teenager, and I fought against it. I tried to run and didn't work, and I came back, and still the question about calling had remained in me for some time, tried to quit the ministry a few times. I was so happy when I was going through the ordination process. The bishop sent me a notice saying that, well, there are not many churches available for you guys, so we cannot ordain you even though you passed the ordain examination. And I said, what a good chance. This is a time that I can finally excuse myself and, you know, be away from the ministry. But, strange things started to happen. Pastors started dying off. And there were churches, you know, available. I'm not joking. This is what happened. So I was like out of the... first time ever, they put a rank in all the ordainees, right? I was like a rank 3 or 4 out of like a 20 ordainees. And the bishop said, when the opening would be available, then you will be ordained, right? And there wasn't still opening. And then, you know, pastors began to die. It's like, I told that later to the pastor, retired pastor in Northampton, Massachusetts. He was a retired minister serving a congregational church, and I had a college ministry going on in there. After I told him about that, he finally retired because he didn't want to die. But anyway, So I struggled with my calling, and it's been 42 years since I began ministry, and what's going to happen after I retire? And am I going to be free, finally, from the ministry? Well, answer I got is no. Hope it's not going to be a parish ministry, and, My body is getting old, and I won't be able to do the physical labor as I have done here for the last 10 years. That's when I was reflecting upon my calling, and God spoke to me. And that's in a way that God gave me a message, and that's something that I'm gonna share. And it's not just to me, but it applies to each and every one of you. And that's the confidence I have in you, that no matter where you are in your life, no matter how old you are, no matter how you understand about your ability, God has mission for you and for me. And the mission is not changed until we go to see Him face to face. Actually, that's the summary of my message. But anyway, so glad to see you all, and I am grateful for your presence and for having been the partner of ministry for the last 10 years. A British destroyer was patrolling the Atlantic when a German U-boat began circling at a distance. The British captain watched calmly as the U-boat's radio man came on the air, hurling insult at the Empire, mocking the royal family, and cursing up a storm. The crew was irritated, but the captain stayed cool. Hours passed. Then, through his binoculars, the captain spotted a German sailor climb out onto the deck of the U-boat. The man stretched, looked around, and casually spat into the sea. Without hesitation, the captain barked, "Battle stations, full speed ahead, sink that bloody sub." His first mate shocked and asked, "Sir, why now? He's been insulting us all day." The captain growled, "I can tolerate slander, I can endure treason, but when he spits in our ocean, that's an act of war." During World War II, the whole world battled against just three nations, Germany, Japan, and Italy. However, today's international conflicts are much more complicated and worse than ever. Along with the intricate international relationship, the world economy is grappling with unstable market conditions. Undoubtedly, the world is caught in a massive storm. The storm that the ship Paul boarded encountered describes more than just the condition of Paul's journey to Rome. It figuratively illustrates the perilous world, its spiritual shipwreck, and most importantly, the kinds of tasks God has assigned to his followers in this broken world. We learn about the Great Commission in relation to our calling last Sunday. Today, we will explore the turbulent states of the world and reflect on the mission-oriented perspective we should maintain during life storms. Storms that we face tells God's interventions, God's plan in our lives. This coming Thursday, May 29th, is the day of Ascension. So next Sunday, the first Sunday of June, we will study the significance of Jesus' ascension in relation to our calling. So that'll conclude, in a way, the series of messages that I've been delivering in relation to the Great Commission that we all have received. The Apostle Paul was converted shortly after the Jerusalem church was established following Pentecost around 36 AD. The Jerusalem church officially recognized Paul's ministry among the Gentiles and appointed him as a missionary to the Gentiles around 50 AD. For the next decade, Paul created three distinct mission circuits in Israel, Syria, Turkey, and Greece, traveling over 10,000 miles to preach the gospel and establish churches. After completing his third missionary journey, he was arrested in Jerusalem. During his trial, Paul revealed that he was a Roman citizen and appealed to Caesar. Around 60 AD, he was sent to Rome by ship, and part of the chapter of 27 we read, but the whole chapter 27 describes Paul's treacherous journey to Rome across the Mediterranean Sea. Paul's mission appeared to have completed when he was arrested and tried in Jerusalem and in Caesarea, but God still had a plan for Paul. Shortly after Paul boarded the ship, the winds blew against it, significantly slowing their trip. Paul warned them that the voyage would be very dangerous. However, the centurion in charge of transporting criminals listened to the pilot and the ship's owner, who did not want to delay the journey. The ship crawled along as far as Crete Island, and I know many of you have been to visit this Mediterranean island located in southern Greece. But from then on, the situation deteriorated with a violent wind. They had to throw the cargo and tackle overboard to lighten the ship as much as possible. The tempest raged in darkness for about 2 weeks, and everyone lost hope of survival. It was then that Paul stood up and delivered a message of hope. The ship was completely wrecked, but everyone on board was saved, just as Paul had told them. So think about the ship and the passengers and the situation they were in. They symbolize our mission field. Caught in storms and aimlessly drifting in the vast sea. That's our mission field. You know why they are caught in storm and aimlessly drifting in the vast sea? Because of godlessness. Our mission field without God is destined for shipwreck spiritually. And Paul represents us, God's people, called into the stormy world. As Paul delivered a message of hope, we are called to tell the world, the stormy world, that God is the anchor people can hold on to in life storm. It is a stormy world out there, and we are called to share the good news of Jesus, for Jesus is the only anchor that can save them. What does an anchor do during a storm? It stabilizes the ship and prevents it from drifting. However, the storm during Paul's voyage was so fierce that the anchors could do nothing to stabilize the ship. Chapter 27 of Acts mentioned anchors several times. Apparently, the ship had many anchors, but those anchors could not save the ship. At the end of the chapter, they cast off the anchors to run the ship aground. Likewise, during life storms, worldly anchors, that is, our means of survival, do not work. However, the spiritual anchor in Christ saves us and instills confidence in God's power. Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee perfectly parallels the storm that Paul and all the passengers faced, illustrating the confidence of believers during life's tempest. A sudden storm terrified the disciples, who feared that they would drown. In the midst of the storm, Jesus was sound asleep. After he awakened, he calms the storm. Therefore, be confident that Jesus is with us during storms. Storms in our lives and storms in our mission field. Some of you would recognize the hymn titled Moment by Moment. It is an old hymn that speaks of what God does in the storms of life. The lyric says, never a battle with wrong for the right, never a contest that he does not fight, never a trial that he is not there, never a burden that he does not bear, never a sorrow that he does not share. Moment by moment, I am under his care. Never a heartache and never a groan, never a teardrop and never a moan, never a danger, but there on the throne, moment by moment, he think of his own. Never a weakness that he does not feel, never a sickness that he cannot heal, moment by moment, in awe or in will, Jesus, my Savior, abides with me still. So let us not be unsettled during a storm, for God is with us. If God is with us, why does God allow storms to begin with? The storm that seemed to be unnecessary. God can use the storm to guide us back to our mission. Remember what happened to Jonah? He was running away from God's call. During the storm, Jonah repented and became obedient to God's call. The story is told of a little boy who was floating his boat on a pond when it drifted away. A man came by, saw the boat drifting on the pond, and began throwing stones on the far side of the boat. The boy asked, "What are you doing?" But then something very interesting happened. As the stones struck the water beyond the boat, they created ripples that pushed the boat back toward the boy. Even though the stone disturbed the smooth surface, they achieved the desired result. That is how it is with God at times. When we drift away from him, he casts the unsettling stones beyond us to guide us back to where we are meant to be. The Apostle Paul had an anchor of certainty in Jesus during the storm and acted with confidence. However, it is difficult for those who do not have faith in God to emulate Paul. They see storms as extremely destructive forces that cause significant damage and radically alter their lives. The Bible says this morning, no matter how terrible a storm may be, it cannot change our earthly mission. Paul had an unshakable anchor in Jesus and was confident that the storm did not change his mission. In fact, Paul reaffirmed his calling during the storm, knowing that he needed to stand before Caesar and testify about the life of Jesus, his death and resurrection. This truth applies to every believer. We have faced many storms in the past and may still experiencing unwanted changes today. But regardless of the storms and changes we encounter, the mission that God has given us individually and to the churches of Jesus remained unchanged. Let us trust in how God operates in our lives. The storms of life do not mean that God has abandoned us. Rather, God uses them to manifest
His sovereignty over our lives and reveal our calling so that we can find peace and confidence in God's plan for us. A woman caught in a frightening storm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean had kept all the little children on board from panicking by telling Bible stories. After finally reaching the dock safely, the ship's captain approached the woman, whom he had observed in the middle of the tempest. "How were you able to maintain your calm when everyone feared the ship would sink in this storm?" the captain asked. As she looked up, he noted the same quiet peace in her eyes that she had maintained throughout the journey. "I have two daughters," explained the Christian woman. "One of them lives in New York, the other lives in heaven. I know I would see one or the other of my daughters in a few hours, and it really didn't matter to me which one." Are we facing storms? We do not need to panic or fear. Instead, we should have confidence in God's plan for us. Regardless of the storms, God will guide us to the day we fulfill His mission. Amen.